Hey there, it's Amrita, and I am I'm thankful for everyone who contributed to the AMA question list, and I am going to be tackling that now. But be patient with me because I'm feeling insecure and shy. This is a lot of, I love to talk, but this is a lot of talking. So you're gonna get the shy side, perhaps. Okay. Definitely the awkward part of me. Stray thoughts. A word wrangler wants to know, what is your favorite type of scenario to record for DWA and PTA? PTA, Pillow Talk Audios will be sexy voicemails. Filled with dirty talk and adoration. And then GWA, Gone Wild Audio. My favorite scenarios to record are dominatrix sessions. I really like it when I can play with the dominatrix energy that I don't get to do very often these days. So those are my favorite scenarios for both. All right. Do you have any scenarios, scripts, or kinks that you haven't recorded yet but are interested in trying? And that answer is yes, I do. I have many. Would you like to know? I do have a kink that I want to explore, and it is very embodied, and it requires silence for concentration. But I've been really exploring some ideas about how to translate that to audio and in a way that really expresses just how fucking hot it is to me. So I'm working on that. That'll be a first and something new. Spicy food, yay or nay? And that's a fuck yes. I have hit my limit of spicy food and know what it looks like to have the sky rip open and the cosmos, you know, flood into your body with such intensity that you're going to explode. Painful, and I survived. What I love about spicy food is it is a very sensual experience, very embodied physical experience. Not just taste, you know, but feeling. And I love wasabi for that reason, because it feels differently than a habanero spice. It has more of an electrical, lightning, flashing current that I feel when I eat wasabi. Spicy food. Okay, what life philosophy do you most lean towards? I think that having compassion for ourselves as well as others is a practice that is important in my life. So I try to embody that as much as I can. I've also decided that I'm giving you total, like, license to go make the embodiment game, because I'm going to say embody like 30 more times before we get through the next sentence. Yeah. So it could be your drinking game for the AMA. But because I am very much sensual and really in my physical body, yeah, that's a lot of what you're going to hear. And so just really embody that, the idea that compassion for yourself is just as important as compassion for others. Well, and also because, like, I have so many different facets of myself, you know, not everybody gets to have access to the entirety of my being, right? Different relationships have different experiences. So, the one true common denominator for the various ways I show up in the world is, like, compassion. And so, I mean, because we all have this ability to embrace that in every aspect of our life. So, yeah. What? Let's see here. Favorite far-mirrored animal? Last question on this set by Stray Thoughts. Speaking of stray thoughts of my own, favorite farmyard animal. I grew up on the farm for a minute. The farm. I don't know what that's about, but a farm. And one time I had been trapped in a hen house thanks to some fucking feisty goats. So, but I also think goats they're totally fascinating creatures. So, yeah. So, farmyard animal would be a goat. What is the divine feminine? So thank you, Captain Jericho, for this one, because this is actually something that has been challenging me lately, is my thoughts around this topic and what is feminine and what is masculine. But if we set aside the binary, non-binary argument about the masculine and feminine traits of people, and look at the divine ability. So, the divine feminine, the ability to create life, is what I would say that it is. It's the ability to create life. So, that's also, I mean, okay, men also have the ability to create life. We both do. But the way we embody that ability is different. So I will never know what it's like to ejaculate as a man, right? Don't have that experience. So speaking to the experience of the ability of a woman who can create life and take a seed and make it grow, right? That's the idea of the divine feminine, And how I embodied it was through childbirth. But how men can embody the divine feminine is to plant a seed and watch it grow. You know, and know what it's like to nurture something into life. I just have a more physical connection to it, a more visceral connection to the divine feminine. But anyone can really tap into that energy. So thank you for asking. All right. Oh, interesting suit. You suited up. If you could create the ultimate sex toy, what would it be like, and what would you call it? And to that I say, challenge accepted. Okay, I have my... I'm going to put my glass on. I have my Lilo Sona here, and it is... loud, right? And it feels very good. I have kind of gotten spoiled to it, I must confess. So I would like it, though, to have a way, because it can set different patterns. But what if I could set it to the beat of the music that I'm listening to in the moment? So have it be like a Bluetooth speaker, but only done in vibration. I would love that. And if they have one like that, I would totally fucking buy a ton of them. So... So I don't know what I would call it, though, because honestly, that's, I don't know what I would call it, but I definitely want one. So thank you for that question. Now I'm all excited, and I'm hopefully gonna find one, because that would tickle me, quite literally. All right. Batman's Dirty Undies wants to know what my favorite animal is. And I feel like that's a trick question. Because as a witch, and as, you know, someone really open to the energy medicine of spirit animals... I don't really have a favorite in that, in the way that people are like, I'm a cat person, I'm a dog person. So, for me, it's dependent upon the mood that I'm in and the energy that I am embodied at the time. So... like, I spend a lot of time really, like, with my serpent, my snake. I have a corn snake. And I spend a lot of time with him. Right, so that's that energy. So I love snakes. And I love my cat, you know? The wolf and the crow and the hummingbird. And the owl, right? Like, there's all these animals out there that have some sort of special meaning to me. So it's hard to say favorite animal. But I was born in the year of the tiger. And I do have a tattoo of a tiger. And I travel in my spirit realm journeys with a tiger. So I would have to say that that's would be a favorite if I had to choose just one. That's the long answer. Favorite Reddit user name scene. Are you kidding me? Do you even have to ask? I think that's totally fishing for a compliment. Because you have my favorite username. Because it just tickles me. Thinking of Batman and his dirty undies. So I would love to know how you came up with that one. What made you think that? That would want to be your username. Am I allowed to ask back in my AMA response? Yeah. Anyways, I just did. So let me know. I'm curious about you and what that means. What would your perfect day to yourself? What would be your perfect day to yourself? Okay. All to myself. I want to, like, the perfect day to myself would to be able to shed this mortal coil and go explore the forest as a wood nymph would. And, you know, make magic. Shoot my bow and arrows. Play in the water, in a river, in a lake, a stream. You know, lay in the grass. Lie on a hot rock and just soak up the sun and then splash back into the water. And, you know, watch the sunrise. Watch the sunset. Watch the moon rise. Look at the stars. And just being out in nature. It would be so nice. I miss it. All right, so that would be a perfect day to myself. And if I wanted to feel like extra, extra, I would throw in like a visit to the ocean real quick to take a dip as a mermaid and then come back to the forest. That would be perfect. And you want to know what I would do if I won $100 million? I would love to be idealistic enough to think that I could take every cent of that, penny, cent of that penny, of that $100 million. And, oh, I have to stretch, hold on. Oh my gosh. Okay, that's better. I want to take all of that money and eradicate ice and then start working from there on out to like Michigan and getting them clean drinking water. And then I would like to take some of that and also make sure that, you know, our systems are in place, but it takes so much more than just $100 million to do all of that. So, but that's where I would start with it. Do you wish you had spent more time doing anything? Oh, that's such a expansive, vast question with several answers. Anything. Well, I can do anything more of if I want to now, but the one thing that I can't do anything more of is spend time with my mom. And if I could do anything, if I could go back and do anything, that would be spending more time with her and traveling and
taken her places, and yeah, that's what I would do. Are you happy? Am I happy? Well, I mean, yes, in this moment right now, if I practice, you know, in the present, in the now, right now, yeah, I'm happy. I'm enjoying myself. These are great questions. If I think about my troubles, then no, I'm not. I'm concerned, but I don't want to think about my troubles. I want to think about what's happening right now. And right now, yes, I am very happy. So thank you. I look forward to hearing your response to my question. Okay, here we are. Dr. Feel Good and Orgasm. That sounds like a really great practice. I like to feel good in orgasm. So, what stereotype about your country, ethnicity, do you dislike the most? Well, to be honest, when I have traveled abroad, I am fortunate because I am a very privileged woman, for just being who I am. So when I travel abroad, I get, treated differently. But when I talk to other people, when I travel, we talk about how Americans are perceived as rude and stupid. And I dislike that because while that certainly can be the case, I know that there's much more here. We're just very divided right now. And so, but also, on that same token, I tend to agree with them. So I just don't really like being perceived that way as a nation. But it doesn't mean I don't disagree. What's the dumbest, funniest sexual encounter you have ever had? Well, I can't think of the dumbest sexual encounter I've ever had because that, I mean, I guess I could see where you could be stupid about having a sexual encounter somewhere, but, the funniest sexual encounter I had was, I was in a threesome. It was the second time I had been with this couple. He was a past lover, so this wasn't unusual. But this was the first time I was with him and her. And, yeah. So, anyways, so I'm hanging out at their place, and she doesn't want to have sex because she started her period. And so I, like, start having sex with him on the couch, and she's watching, and she's doing all this dirty talk, and it's super hot, and and then in my mind, because I lose, I kind of go into a trance when having sex, and if it's not in my immediate attention, I don't really tune in. I'm so focused on what I'm doing and what I'm feeling. But in a moment, I don't know what it was, just a moment in the background, because we're in their living room, I hear Worf say something totally random and yet totally applied to the situation about something that she had just said in a dirty sex, you know, this dirty talk kind of. And it sounded like he responded to her. And I had previously had tuned out that they had had the TV on, but it was on Star Trek and it was Worf. So I fucking cracked up. But she also cracked up because she caught it. She was like, what? Oh my God, did that just happen? You know, and it was just kind of funny. He didn't find it as amusing, but she and I did. So, yeah, that was pretty funny. Worf coming into your head while having sex, that's just crazy. I wish I remember what he'd said, because that would have been the soundbite that would I'd play right now. But I don't have it. What physical aspect of the male and female body turns you on the most? And there is no most. So I'm going to say, what physical aspect of the male and female body turns you on? And it's all of it, really. It really is. And it's also very individual and unique to the person. So I am demisexual. So energy, the energy of a person really matters to me. And when someone is really connected with that and how they move their body and how they show up physically embodied is incredibly a huge turn on. So, but that's different in different people, you know. Like, for example, like I could say hands, right? And it's not that they're small hands or soft hands or large hands, you know, rough hands, but it depends on the person and how they connect with me through their hands, right? So it could be eyes, the way someone likes to do eye gazing. You know, fingers and touch. You know, like it's just, it's not just, I like a more richer experience when thinking about that. Like the way the hip sways in the moment when she's dancing, or, you know, yeah, just, so there's not a most. I just have, I love eye candy, and everyone is yummy. So, yeah. Okay, got a little distracted there. Now I'm thinking about sexy dancing and watching. It's what I did on New Year's Eve, actually. Watched these ladies up on stage with a DJ, and they were just dancing, and oh, fuck, it was gorgeous. Yeah. All right. So, and that leads me to, what time during the day are you the most... Or the horniest, not the most. Just the horniest. Okay. So, I like to set my day off, right? And I really prefer to get off first thing in the morning. Because I wake up. And I like to kind of start my day with the energy of having that just... turn on, right? However, I'm actually more charged up later in the day. And maybe it's because I had that morning practice of getting off. And then later, it just is like mid-afternoon, right? I really just like, I want to drop everything I'm doing and go have sex. That's it. I'm done. Done doing this. I want to go have sex right now. So, for example, I could just stop the AMA right now and just be like, hey guys, I'm gonna take a break. I'm gonna get off and then I'm gonna come back and finish this. Because that's something that I would do. But I'm not going to. Because I wanna do this. So I can hold off a little while longer. All right. What's your ideal amount of sex per week? Okay, this is also a trick question because sex is such a vast concept, right? Do you mean intercourse? Do you mean sexual connection games? Do you mean, I mean, like, there's so many things that sex can contain. So amount per week is a bare minimum of one time a day. Something sexual has to happen. it's because it's more of a spiritual practice, right? For me. And then, so once a day, and then I would like to add more sex onto that. And then that doesn't have, intercourse doesn't have to be every day. But ideally, it says ideal. So yeah, every day. So every day I would like to be able to masturbate, and every day I would like to have intercourse. And all the yummy stuff in between, every single day. So a lot. I think maybe I should just end that with a lot. What's your ideal amount? A lot. Every day, twice, some days three times. It depends on if we're on vacation. Sometimes I might not want to leave at all and just stay in the cabin and just have sex all day long. So that's ideal. a lot. And that leads me to asking your next question here, or answering it. Favorite sex position and why? Well, there's a lot of ways to have sex. Not just intercourse. So now I'm going to sit here and I have to think about it because it's an embodied experience. And what way do I like the most? Favorite sex position. Favorite. Damn. All right. So I like it when my partner's on top. A male partner, I should specify. And he's not thrusting. I'm riding. I like to ride on the bottom. From the bottom. Yes. Riding from the bottom. So really a very visceral, intense experience to writhe and thrust myself onto my partner who's on top. But I also like feeling like he can hold me while I do it too. So, that's a pretty favorite one. Now, with a woman, because it's a totally different experience entirely, I think that I would like to be on the bottom with a strap on, and I would love to watch her ride me. So, I am courting a lady right now, so we're thinking about stuff. So I'm envisioning that right now. Oh, fuck. I would love that to happen. So, yeah, that's my favorite with a woman. And then, okay. Which fictional character do you want to have sex with the most and why? Okay. So this is totally... I'm drinking. I'm going to take a moment here to do this, and then I'm going to say what I'm going to say out loud, and it's going to be my honest truth. So, I didn't know it was a thing until the moment it became a thing, right? You remember that moment in time when you realized that, like something happens and you're like, oh, this is a thing for me. Oh, like, oh. That happened the very first time I watched the Lord of the Rings movie when the lead Uruk-hai came out. And so he qualifies as a fictional character. And I all of a sudden got so turned on and terrified at the same time. Like, so turned on and so terrified. That it became a thing. And I mean, it makes sense. I mean, totally, if we wanted to analyze why. But yeah, so the Uruk-hai just was a thing. I don't know. And then I come out of the theater because I saw it down in LA when it premiered, and they had a huge statue of a Uruk-hai, the guy there, and I just was, you know, I was already feeling flustered from having that experience, and then there he was standing right there, and I swear to God, I just, oh, it was intense. Yeah, I was very excited to see him and terrified. It was thrilling, but yeah. So that would be my fictional character. True Confessions with Amrita. Are you? I know you'd think it'd be like some Jane Austen character or something, right? Like the typical. No, mine's an Uruk-hai. Are you a dom, a sub, or a switch? I am a switch. When I have a really great connection with a partner, I will be a sub in the bedroom. But that requires trust. I prefer to do scenarios as a dom, as a dominatrix. More of the BDSM that does not involve sexual intercourse. So, but yeah, switch. Worst date you have ever been on? The worst date. I don't really date. I can't stand dating. It's just kind of a joke to me. So, the worst date I've ever been on, of the dates that I have been on, I had a guy tell me that I was heavier than the women he's used to dating. So, and that's fine because I'm not thin. And I should have told him to fuck off right there. But I wasn't really vetting him for a relationship. I was vetting him more for a partner that I could do workshops with. So I wasn't really concerned about what he felt like as physically attracted to me as if he would be a great model for me to demonstrate glorious handjobs on. So, yeah. But I have to say, like, it was still a date because, I mean, it was like, I didn't know. I mean, it could have been something, but that definitely turned it into nothing.
I mean, we still hung out and whatnot for a minute until, you know, it was fun until it wasn't. Now, best date you have ever been on. Once again, dating's still, new to me. And, so the best date that I've recently been on, I met this man and we're doing a training together, and he invited me out to a rock concert and took me to dinner beforehand, and it was very much date-like, even though I don't like dating, and I had an amazing fucking time. It was great. Yeah, and we got to headbang together. So, yeah, best date. All right. Oh, goodness me, oh my. This is a really big question. And this, I mean, okay, we're already at 41 minutes in, right? Okay, I'm getting self-conscious about that. And I'm going to let that go. See how easy it is? Just going to let it go. All right. What are some of the biggest mistakes men make when it comes to sex, as well as dating, relationships, and what advice do you have for men on avoiding those mistakes? Okay, well, oh my God, I've been sitting on my bed. I'm going to lay down. So, hold on a second. Because this is going to take me a minute. And I'm going to highlight it so I don't forget where I'm at in my place. And I'm going to lay down. All right. So, okay. I would have to say that from my experience, that the biggest mistake men can make surrounding sex right now. Hold on. Say, what are some of the biggest mistakes men make? I feel like it's hard to well, for example, you can't really make a mistake when it comes to sex, per se, as long as you are within consent and boundaries. Consent and boundaries are the most important thing when it comes to a relationship relating to another human being. So, the biggest mistake would be to not acknowledge that or not embody that practice. So, and I think that that needs to be said. However, if we want to talk about the idea of connection and how to build stronger connection and where we make our mistakes, there is with vulnerability and not embracing it. So the best way to avoid a fuck ton of mistakes is embracing your vulnerability. We all make mistakes, and we all fuck up. And in my last relationship, I really fucked up. right? But so did he. And acknowledging that and being a good person around it is so important for when you do fuck up. Because mistakes are going to happen. That's just the messy way of life. You can't avoid the mistake. You can learn from the mistake. And it's what you choose to do after you've made the mistake that is the most important. Right? Like, for example, if your partner, girlfriend, wife tells you, "You hurt me when you said this," you can't say, "No, I didn't," or "I didn't mean to." Because we all don't mean to hurt anybody, and to use that as your apology is unacceptable, right? But really owning that that person is feeling that feeling of hurt and that you caused it. And owning it without trying to deflect it, reflect it, or dismiss it entirely. Because ultimately we want to connect, and we want to feel seen, and we want to be heard. And oftentimes we take each other for granted. You know, we're lazy in our relationships. You know, we're lazy because we get accustomed to the way things are. But the unfortunate thing is that things change. And if you stay rooted in one way of being while the other partner is changing, that's tectonic plates shifting apart. So be willing to see that you might need to change as well and grow. And it may hurt, and it's going to feel intensely vulnerable. But if you don't do that, then it's going to create too much chafe in your relationship. So, yeah, you know. And then I also want to talk about something else here for a moment when it comes to this topic, but slightly different, is that for the longest time, it was perceived that men were just wanting women to get off, and that's it, right? My needs and my needs only, and I'm using you to get what I want. So the counterbalance point to that, when that became a societal thing, was that men started not taking anything and only giving, and like, I only want to give pleasure because I'm denying mine. My pleasure is your pleasure, which may be true. I'm not going to deny that. However, you know, the other end of that, like the counterbalance, is I take too much, and so therefore I give it all. And I've noticed that in clients and in practice partners, is that there's men out there who have never actually received. And I think that's a mistake.
in relationships to the point that they don't know how to ask for what they want. And I know that myself as a woman and a lover is that I want to be able to give as well. And if a partner is able to receive that exchange of energy, it's amazing, right? So being willing to be receptive and not feel guilty and feeling like, oh, she's only doing it to please me because, you know, whatever bullshit games that we're saying in our heads and the stories that we tell ourselves, right, is all fucked up. I think I've had too much wine. So my point is that it's okay to receive graciously as a lover, and it's okay to graciously and generously give as a lover, and explore that in your relationships. You know, it's about just allowing pleasure to flow back and forth between you and your partner, right? As well as together. So yeah, just a thought. Okay. I'm sure I have much more advice to give because that's kind of what I do, but I'm gonna move on to how do you stumble upon GWA? I stumbled upon GWA because I came to Reddit to sell my panties. I am a pheromone junkie myself, and I get that I have been told, it is my experience, that of the partners I've had in my life, that they have enjoyed the scent of my pussy and my panties. So I thought it would be kind of like a fun little fetish filling to sell them. And in order to sell them, I needed to find and explore Reddit to get karma, that karma game. And so I was like going to all the sex websites and checking that out, and I came across GWA, and yeah, that was something that definitely shifted my life into the direction that I'm in now. So yeah, changed my life when I found GWA. Yeah. All right. Okay, here we go. I had to move my laptop closer. What type of erotic audios will you absolutely not listen to or record yourself? Okay. So this question really has me challenging some ideals and beliefs that I have. Because I have this thing about rape. And sexual assault. Because I have been on the receiving end of it on more than once in my life. So, that being said, when I am in a place of trusting my partner, then I like to explore consensual, non-consensual play, which is rape. I would like to clarify that of the times that I was assaulted, it was never that situation. So that was always done by someone that I was not involved with as a partner.
So it was never like in a moment of me being in a sexual relationship with somebody and having that experience. So I have some trauma around it, and but I'm also interested in exploring that. So I can't say that it's not the one that I never will, right? But I don't know that I would listen to it. I will eventually record an audio for that, but I don't really, that's not something that I'm gonna listen to. So, but that being said, my consensual, non-consensual sex is really fucking hot to me. And so I can see where an audio for it is going to be someone's cup of tea, right? I don't want to shame anybody who is into that taboo, right? In an ethical manner, as ethical as it can be, right? I want to be very clear about that. I practice it myself, but it's also just, you know, with any taboo, it's very tender and hot topic. So that's it there. If I were a stripper, what would my stripper name be, and what would be your gimmick or character? Oh my goodness. Okay, so if I was a stripper, it'd be more of a burlesque, right? And you know, I definitely prefer burlesque to just strip club stripping, because it's just much more entertaining. And my gimmick would be, I want to be able to do aerial work, you know, like a hoop in the sky, you know what I mean, like, you know, in the air, the aerial work, kind of have an element of circus theater as well. So that'd be a fun gimmick. And I don't know, like, all burlesque dancers have like entendre names or something similar to that effect. And I don't know, like, for some reason I like the name Candy. Don't ask, I don't know, it just came to my head. Like, that would be my Candy something or other, right? And so maybe as I think about it, since that just popped in my head, I could formulate it. I'm also a chewer, so I like to ruminate on some things for a while, so I'll have to come up with my burlesque aerial artist stripper name for you. Do you watch stand-up comedy? If yes, who's your favorite comedian? I have not watched stand-up comedy recently, except for Nanette. And that's a different story entirely. Because I'm a stoner, I do love Mitch Hedberg clips and bits. And then I also have a salty love affair with the work of Bill Hicks. So that's, you know, not so much comedy, but comedy. Yeah, so, okay. Oh, let's see here. If you could go back in time and talk to your younger self, what advice would you give her? This is very simple. I would go back and tell my younger self to stop fucking around with boys who don't truly give a damn or deserve you, and focus on cultivating your awesome self more. So, 'cause pining away for boys was something that, I mean, I made Bella Swan look like an amateur. Such a fucking hopeless romantic. So, no pining away for boys. Self-cultivation, that's what I would say to her. Oh, and find the rainbow serpent sooner. That's for damn sure. Like, I would just, like, give it back, you know, like, I would bring it with me. I would totally give myself my rainbow serpent. So, yeah, that would have changed her life. I mean, I'm glad I did it when I did, but, yeah. Okay, what's the last movie you saw? So, let's see here. Oh, wait, hold on. I'm thinking. Oh. It's kind of eluding my thoughts right now. Okay, so. Okay, so I started to watch something last night, but I didn't, you know, it was just for a few minutes and I didn't get into it. So I walked away. But I did watch, the new Fantastic Beasts movie, The Crimes of Grindelwald. I think that's how you say his name. Sort of. So, yes, that was the last movie I saw. Have you ever cried during a movie? Yes. I'm just going to pass on the rest of the question because, yes, I have. In fact, I love to cry at movies. I'm very empathic, and the one way that I get to tap into that is watching movies and really embodying the character and their feelings and allowing myself to be swept away in it. It's this amazing experience that I get to explore when I watch movies, which is also makes it really hard for me to listen to rape audios, right? If you think about that, as I get really swept away into it. And so, in that experience. But with movies, yeah, I love watching movies and the high that I get, the empathic high that I get off of them. And there is a movie that I watch specifically when I want to feel that hopeless romantic burn inside of me, just like, oh, I need to express this feeling and I want to, you know, like really just sit in this emotion. I watch Moulin Rouge because it's pretty, it has eye candy, and it fucking makes me cry like a baby every single time I watch it. Yeah, so not only do I cry during movies, but sometimes I do it on purpose. And here we go. If you could be the opposite sex for a day, what would you do? Well, thank you for that round of amazing, I was not doing it. Questions, Dr. Feelgood and Orgasm. If I were a man for a day, I would, any surprise, would want to spend my time embodying
my sexuality and the sensuality and feeling my body and what it would be like to feel like I have sex and to get a blowjob and to explore, you know, movement in this body. So that's what I would do if I was a man for a day. Right. But then the snarky part of me says, if I was specifically a U.S. senator and a man, I would go around voting for all the opposite things that they've been voting for all the time and use my power for good, not evil. So there's that concept if we wanted to elaborate and stretch the question. All right, so I have a few more questions somewhere else, and I'm going to find them for you. And oh, here we go. All right. So, nearby glove says, describe your perfect day off. Well, I kind of already described what my perfect day to myself would be as a woodland nymph. but my perfect day off would be traveling somewhere. Like, I love to, like, let's say I just had one day to go somewhere. Take the day off, and I'd probably, like, drive down the coast a bit. Drive up the coast a bit, explore some beaches for the day with a friend, maybe do some ritual, get some food, watch the sunset, and then come back to my daily grind. That's a good way to reset. What did you have for breakfast this morning? I had half of my breakfast burrito, which was turkey sausage, tomatoes, cheese, sour cream, and eggs in a tortilla breakfast burrito. I got it after working out this morning. And a white chocolate mocha. Okay. If you were a wrestler, what would your entrance theme song? What would be your entrance theme song? Okay. All right. So I'm a wrestler. Let's see, I'm going to envision this. I'm a wrestler. And I'm pretty badass, and everyone knows that. And I have one song to walk into a room to. And how would I like to walk into a crowded room of crazy people who want to see me kick someone's ass? Rawr. I don't know. I don't know that's, I'm getting the vibe of Juliette Lewis and the Licks. Hold on, just 1 second. Let's explore for just 1 second here. Oh wait, over here. Juliette Lewis and the Licks. All right. Play me, please. I don't know. I don't know, it's pretty fast, but Smash and Grab by Juliette Lewis and the Licks. Doesn't feel very anthem-esque, though, right? I don't know.
Yeah, maybe that. But it's, let's see. Yeah. It's my running song. I love to run to this song. So I have to say that. But that's a running song. That's not like a strut my stuff song. So, well, I feel like this might be even more challenging than what's my favorite animal. I don't know, to be honest. Like, I have some fun songs, but, let's see here. Okay. Roll with me here. I am walking out into the crowd. It's going to be Seven Nation Army by the White Stripes. Because it's measured in pace. That says, I'm coming to fuck up your shit. So if I were a wrestler, Seven Nation Army by the White Stripes. That was entertaining. I had to really think about that. And so thank you, Nearby Glove, for your questions. Now I have just two more left. And how are we on time? Oh, seriously? Feel free to take breaks. We're almost done. Have you ever tried to collect and drink your own or someone else's Amrita? How was your experience? Okay. I do collect my Amrita. That is... That is something I do. I do not drink it, though. I do combine it with an essential oil, and I wear it when I collect it. So there is that. But I don't drink it, no. And no, I have not collected another woman's Amrita, and I want to. So that's on my list of things that I would like to experience myself. So I'm excited for some possibilities that are coming up in my future. Yeah, but no, I love to collect it. I think it's amazing. It's yummy in that sense, not taste-wise, but just... It's also very... heavily pheromone trigger for me, so I love the scent of it too. That's another reason why I don't mind collecting it. All right, the last question for this AMA, and if you've made it this far, holy shit, you might just be as crazy as I am. What are your dick preferences? To which I jokingly want to say, don't be an asshole. For all you people out there who are dicks. No. Just don't be one. Do you like big dicks more than small dicks? Do you like them circumcised or uncircumcised? All right. So I have a truth to share, and that is that I have never been with a partner who has had... a less than average sized cock. Not because I have turned anyone away because of that or anything like that. It's just, it happens to be that every male partner that I have partnered up with has always had a larger cock. So I honestly And they have all been circumcised. So I do not have any exposure or experience to an uncircumcised cock. And I know that there's a lot of stigma around whether you are or whether you aren't. And I would just like to say that should my partner, should he have an uncircumcised cock, I certainly would be very curious to explore that, because that's not something that I have had, you know, been able to in my life. And for me, when it comes to the idea that everyone's so centrally focused on the genitalia, for me, it's more about the person who wields the cock than the cock itself, for me. So that's a much more contributing factor to whether or not I have a preference for your cock or not. So, because you can be like whatever the society feels is the ideal and a horrible person, and that's not attractive to me, right? I like my preferences. Having someone who is really embodied in their passion and just wants to share that. Like, for example, I have little known fact that my Bad Dragon dildo is modeled after an uncircumcised cock. But it obviously does not have the motion and the movement of the skin. It's a mold, right? So it's a look. And my present favorite toy that I've been playing with recently is actually a dildo that I feel comfortable using for anal play as well as with my pussy, and it's interesting because it feels incredibly delicious, and it's, I would say, if I'm like, I would say, because I'm like all of a sudden talking about toys and not dicks, but it's actually modeled after, you know, a cock, and not, you know, some random shape like, you know, some dildos are. And I really love the way it feels. And it's narrow. I like that, actually. It's new. So it's a new sensation. And I think that's what it comes down to, is my preferences is, does it feel good? Yes? Then fuck yes. And there you have it. So I'm going to not edit this whole experience. And if you've made it this far, fuck yes, that's amazing. And if you didn't, fuck yes, that's amazing too. And thank you again for the AMA. And I look forward to not lurking so much and exploring more.